You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
Indeed, a very good morning to each and every one of you. And what do we say today, this day of the week? We say WTW, don't we? Yes, of course we do. It's Welcome to Wednesday. Wednesday, the 24th of January. And let's see who we got who was born on this day. I know, because I've already had a peep. We've got a big one here. Well, not so long, I'm happy to say. But it's Hadrian, who was born in the year 76 AD. Now, he was Roman Emperor from 117 to 138. 117 to 138. He's best known for building Hadrian's Wall. And that, by the way, marks the northern limit of Roman territory in Britain. In Rome, he built, believe it or not, the Pantheon and the Temple of Venus and Roma. So there you are. Happy birthday to Hadrian.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun.
Morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos dias en la mañana.
That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Taking us all the way back to the year 1964 and bring us in on to today's program, 24th of January. That was our Never Find Another You by The Seekers. Reached number one in the United Kingdom in February of 1965, and it was the first hit in the UK for The Seekers as well. And it was the second best-selling of 1965 in the UK, best-selling single. It was also popular in the United States, got to number 4 on the pop and number 2 on the easy listening charts, the Billboard Hot 100 charts. And, right, where we go. We've got a busy little morning for you this morning. I've just been taking a little look, getting a bit more information about the Pantheon, because it wasn't that long ago that myself and a good lady went and visited. It's quite an incredible structure. I'll tell you a bit more after we've had this. And probably, possibly 2 in a row, we'll see. This is Van Halen. Why can't this be love?
Show with Jerry D.
don't come around here no more. Whatever you're looking for,
hey,
don't come around here no more. I'm giving up, stop. I'm giving up.
Don't come around here, and that is, of course, Tom Petty. Don't come around here no more. And what is it? Wednesday. I know we've got Andreas coming in to chat with us today, which is quite nice. Haven't seen him for a couple of weeks. And we've got a guest in the last hour as well. I'll be telling you more about that in a little while. But for right now, what do we do? Oh, we're going to do this. We're going to put you in the shower for this morning. That's what we're going to do. And got a good one for you. Got an oldie for you. The oldies are the best ones. And I know it as well. Right, let me see. I tell you what, let's turn the water on first, shall we? There we go. And get you in and get you settled down. Soap on a rope, all that kind of thing. Some shower gel, wash your hair. This one. This goes back in time with Amy Stewart. Knock on wood. Indeed, there goes Amy Stewart and Knock on Wood. And that was 1979 when she brought that up. Right, off you go to wherever it is you're going on this Wednesday morning. We wish you well. Keep safe. And Knock on Wood, by the way, was a 1966 hit originally. It was written by Eddie Floyd and Steve Cropper and originally performed by Eddie Floyd. Become a cover, say, came later on, a cover of Amy Stewart, 1979. And that sort of disco version was the most successful on weekly music charts. But just to give you an example, Eddie Floyd brought that out in 1966. Otis Redding, together with Carla Thomas on the album King of Queens, they brought that out in 1967. Now, here's a surprise one for you. David Bowie bought out Knock on Wood. In fact, it was on his album called David Live. That was 1974. As we just said, Amy Stewart there, 1979, when she bought that out. And it reached number one on the US charts in April of 1979, and it also made it to the soul singles and disco charts as well, becoming the best-known version of the song. So there we go. If you are keeping an eye on the time, I tell you what, it is exactly 20 minutes after 7 o'clock. that is called Disappear, which is something I don't intend doing right now. It comes from In Excess. Right, now, I did tell you, because we were mentioning Hadrian, it was his birthday today, and the building of the Pantheon. I thought, gosh, really? I mean, that far back. And so I thought I'd check up and get a bit more information. The Pantheon in Rome, of course, a remarkable ancient building with a very rich history. It was originally built by Agrippa. This was between 25 and 27 BC as a temple dedicated to the 12 gods and to the living sovereign. Now, the current structure, however, the current one, the one that's still standing, was completely rebuilt by the Emperor Hadrian sometime between AD 118 and 128. Now, the building, those of you who have been there, it's a circular structure made of concrete, faced with brick, with a front porch of Corinthian columns, and a large concrete dome. Now, this is the amazing thing about the Pantheon. This large concrete dome rising from the walls. Now, the dome is the largest masonry dome ever built, measuring about 142 feet in diameter and rising to a height of 71 feet above the floor. Now, the interior of the building is lined with colored marble, and the walls are marked by seven deep recesses screened by pairs of columns. Now, the dome's design is considered an architectural masterpiece, and its construction testifies to the superiority of Roman building techniques. And one of the things that really did sort of surprise me when I did sort of check that up is concrete. You know, I didn't realize concrete went that far back. I tell you what, you live and learn, don't you? Now, that's not the name of the song I'm going to play. I'm going to play this one by Paul Young. Every Time You Go Away.
So many tears. escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The first wave to Padrinos have already joined. What about yourself? Now you can make a big difference by sponsoring one or more students for an entire school year. Wave Foundation supports students in rural areas with limited access to education. With Wave's own school operating as of this month, 70 public school students from Pedasi, Guanico and Isla Cañas will benefit from an additional 90 days of English, comprehensive reading and surfing. You can get in touch with them at 64982703. And if you'd like to make a donation, you can do that through YAPI's directory at Asociación Waved. That's WAVED.
Cuidemos juntos el Metro de Panamá manteniendo sus instalaciones limpias. Evitemos comer en ellas y botemos la basura en los recipientes marcados. La metrocultura la hacemos juntos. Metro de Panamá, elevando tu tren de vida.
First you take a heart, then you break a heart. But before you do, you make it full for you. Then you give it back. You shouldn't do that. You see me walk that floor, just thinking of you. You see me walk that floor, baby, right out of my shoes. Somebody help me, please. Tell me what to do. Just send an SOS. You're not hard to distress. Won't somebody please take her place? But I find her there, searching everywhere.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Shadow over me.
Attention now, jolly good. That was Reverend Horton, Eat, and The Devil's Chasing Me. Now, oh, and the one before that, by the way, was The Sorrows and Take a Heart. Now, it seems to be that today's topic, now that I'm looking into, was all to do with concrete. I was saying about the Pantheon being built all those years ago with concrete. So I thought, let me find out a little bit more information about concrete, just to cement the topic. The history of concrete dates back, believe it or not, to around about 6500 BC. Now, with the earliest recordings of concrete structures by the Nabatea traders in the UAE. Now, however, the ancient Romans were the first to utilize concrete widespread around about 200 BC, using a mixture of volcanic ash, lime, and seawater. They built remarkable structures such as, yes, you've got it, the Pantheon Dome, and harbours in the Mediterranean Sea, showcasing the durability of their concrete. The key to the ancient concrete's durability was based on the combination of pozzolanic material and unique self-healing property due to the presence of lime clasts. Now, after the fall of the Roman Empire, the technique for making pozzolan cement was lost, but it was rediscovered later, leading to a renewed interest in building with concrete. Now, the widespread use of concrete declined with the demise of the ancient Roman civilization all that time ago, but it regained popularity with the creation of Portland cement in England, and that was in 1824. So there must have been a huge period, wasn't there, between the ancient Romans and 1824, not using cement. But that dome at the Pantheon, incredible, built with early Roman concrete. Well, as I say, we live and learn. This is Change, A Lover's Holiday.
Just let a man walk up to me and say,
that's all we can use. We could all use with that, couldn't we? A bit of a holiday. There we go. That's Lover's Holiday from Change. To come on this morning's program, I'm happy to say that Andreas is going to be back with us in the 8 o'clock hour talking about movies. And also in the last hour today, from Aprochipa. Aprochipa, we've got Amanda Chu coming in to chat with us. It's coming to that time of the year when you get your kites out again. It is indeed. That's always good fun, isn't it? Get your kite out and go and have a little bit. They do this out there at Panama Pacifico, so there is plenty of room for you to spread out and fly your kite. See if I can find any kite music for the last part of the program as well. It's always a bit of fun, isn't it? Right, to take us up towards the news at 8 o'clock is this one. Joanne Shaw Taylor. By the way, we're exactly 5 before 8, and this is Reckless Heart.
Come love you any less than I do right now, babe. Got nothing left but regret, and I don't know how, babe. I'm gonna lift my head and turn this around, babe. I just can't find any light to shine through this cloud, babe. I'm dazed and confused, but don't be shy.
Thank you.
nice, isn't it? Reckless Heart from Joanne Shaw Taylor. Right, you are listening to The Breakfast Show. We are on 89.3 Cool FM, smoothest place on your radio dial. Right, just a few seconds time, we're going to be taking a look at, well, some of the local news for you here this morning. One thing, though, I just do want to remind you about, please don't forget, we got Andreas coming in, yeah? He's back with us today, and Aprochipa are going to be with us in the last hour so that we can talk about their event. So do stay tuned, plenty to come. It's exactly 8 o'clock.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
The first wave to Padrinos have already joined. What about yourself? Now, you can make a big difference by sponsoring one or more students for an entire school year. Wave Foundation supports students in rural areas with limited access to education. With Wave's own school operating as of this month, 70 public school students from Perisí, Guanico and Isla Cañas will benefit from an additional 90 days of English, comprehensive reading and surfing. You can get in touch with them at 6498-2703. And if you'd like to make a donation, you can do that through YAPI's directory at Asociación Waved. That's WAVED.
La línea 1 del metro pronto llegará a Villa Zahita, beneficiando a más de 300.000 residentes del área norte de la ciudad. Contará con una estación terminal con capacidad de 10.000 pasajeros por hora. Metro de Panamá, elevando tu tren de vida.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM. From the heart of Panama City in English.
We'll be right back. gonna start looking, baby. So get like you used to be. Won't you love me, but don't leave. Love me, baby, but don't you grieve me, oh baby. You used to mean so much to me. I wanna get my arms around you, baby. So get like you used to be.
There we go. Two in a row. We started off with Chicken Shack and Girl Like You Used To Be, and following on with a bit of swing from Yellow here on The Breakfast Show. I tell you what, I'm going to just sort of rummage on my computer, because I know I've got it, because we're going to try right now, and we're going to try and link up with Ingrid and see if she's there. Hold on.
Good morning, Panama. Good morning, Jerry. Hey, yes, how you doing? Well, I'm in the living room trying to be a little quiet as Mom and Dad are still sweeping. My sister and I are up. We're making breakfast for the family. Well, we're making breakfast for Mom, and Dad usually does his own. My sister is lo maximo, as we say. She keeps walking away from me every time I try to reach out and grab her and tell her how much I love her. Hey, Renee, my sister, do you know how much I love you?
Yes.
Don't kiss me there. Yeah. So I am in Florida. Yes, it's pitch black out. Yes, the time
time is about 6-something. Let me see, 6:29. And it's pitch black out. What the heck happened here? At 6:30, it's light out in Panama. So I guess we are slightly above the equator by a lot. So it's kind of strange. It's kind of chilly. I went outside to pick up the newspaper, and I saw this light coming towards me. And I was like, oh, God, no, not yet. I'm not ready. And then it was a man with a dog. So I was like, okay, what are you doing walking at this hour in the morning? He's like, yeah, it's fresh, it's cool. Yeah, okay. So here I am in Florida. Lots of things to get done. I'm going to keep myself busy, I have no doubt. My sister is going to do a couple of days of work here, and then she's headed out for a while, and then I'm in charge of the household. Well, I'm in charge of making sure Mom's okay and Dad's okay. All right, so as it will be for the next 18 days, wow, yeah, here quite a while, I shall be here taking care of the family, working remotely, trying to do what I need to do, get things done, and keeping busy, because there's always something to do and keep you busy around here, especially, you know, now I understand what it's like to have kids when you have adult parents. The difference is they know how to sass you back, and the little kids, they don't know yet. So we're on the verge of having a wonderful 18 days. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that everything goes well and I don't have any issues. Big shout out to the cook there. She's at home taking care of the puppy, which tore open the sacks of garbage. Well, the leaf sacks. Poor guy. She decided to tear them all open after the gardener put them in the bags, and so, whoops, there it is. All right, you guys be safe. Until next time, back to you in the studio.
No.
UB40. Well, I used to be, but that was quite some time ago. And where did I go wrong? Well, that just about sums up my guest for this morning. Oi.
Oh, I thought you were putting any music on. I disconnected.
Well, no, 100%. I said our audience would like me to put on more music.
You're so convincing, I bought the joke, and I just tuned off.
It wasn't a joke. Look, you want to see all my WhatsApps. Oh, no.
All the WhatsApps say, where's Andres? We miss him. And we were like, he's with COVID. Did you say? Did people ask?
Well, you said you didn't have any symptoms. I think you were just playing.
Well, I had no symptoms, but the little test said I'm positive, so what do you want me to
do? Sure, right. Welcome back.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
How you doing?
This is
a lot to talk about. We got the Oscar nominations. I've seen a lot of stuff because I was at home, so.
Yeah. Oscar nominations, basically, is just one movie, really, isn't it? Well, two.
Oppenheimer?
Yeah. I think that's, I think I said to you at the time, I mean, Barbie was entertaining. I would never have thought it was good enough for Oscars.
Well, interesting enough, the Oscars agree with you a little bit because, surprisingly enough, Margot Robbie, the main actress, uh-huh. Barbie did uh-huh. not get nominated, and the director of the movie did not get nominated, which is weird. And it's always been weird when a movie gets nominated for Best Picture, but the director doesn't get a nomination.
It would be, really, because isn't it the director is the one that gives the movie what it is.
Correct. So yeah. It's pretty weird, and not just that this movie is nominated for an Oscar, it was the biggest movie of last year. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird.
But doesn't that just prove it's the same old thing, really, with the Oscars, isn't it?
A little bit. It's at the end of the day, it's still a voting system. They can't, like, if for some reason people went to vote and thought, maybe not do this, it's not the Academy's fault. The Academy members is mostly actors, mostly it's their peers. To be honest, the nominations come from Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie's peers. So what you're getting there is your peers did not get you the nomination. It's not one person making those decisions. So, the voting system. What can you do?
Not much, really. But, I mean, the BAFTAs was interesting.
The BAFTAs?
Yeah.
Nobody watches the BAFTAs.
Yes, they do.
You watched the BAFTAs.
Yes, I did.
Who won the BAFTAs?
Somebody.
So is that a movie? Or
that's my in-depth knowledge of the movie. But it was, I mean, the Oppenheimer is the big one.
Did you watch it? Did you ever watch
it?
No,
I haven't. I've been intentionally not watching it.
Why?
At the moment. Well, because I don't want to upset them by giving my opinion.
Why would you upset them?
Well, they might take away the Oscar.
Why would you believe you're not going to like it?
I didn't say that.
That's what you're saying.
But I don't want to sway their decision. If I come back and say it was brilliant, it was, obviously they're going to give them the award.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think people listen to you, both of them.
Regardless of your review of the film, I believe it's the big favorite, obviously.
Yeah.
I think there are a couple locks there. I think Cillian Murphy, for Best Actor, is pretty much a lock.
Mm-hmm.
You will get that. Robert Downey Jr. is probably a lock as well for Best Supporting. Christopher Nolan, maybe, probably for Director. So they might sweep the main ones.
So I thought 13 nominations?
I think it's 13, yeah. I think they might sweep the main ones. And let's be honest, there's no way, like, practical effects and stuff like that will not get it. That would be weird if they don't, like, mm-hmm. special effects, because there's some really interesting stuff there.
Yeah.
I never thought, when this movie came out and I saw it, I never thought, oh, this is going to be the Chris Nolan Oscar movie. And it seems like it's going to be, yeah.
And why would you not think that?
Because I saw it more as to be honest, I never saw Chris Nolan as an Oscar-winning director. I thought I saw him as my vision of him was he is the best original box office maker. Like, this is the one guy that does not need to make superhero movie to have a box office hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he kept doing it over and over and over again, and his movies were good. Some of them great. But never saw them. Oh, this is because Oscars, as you said, they're a little snobby, and Christopher Nolan movies are not based on. Oh, let me make
he's
this movie about.
He's making a movie. He's not making. Oh, let me see if I can win an Oscar.
It felt that way. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's a great description. So yeah, his movies are not about. Oh, this immigrant had a really hard 12 days, and this is a movie about how he suffered. Let's go watch this in a great movie. Oh, Oscars. Mm-hmm. That, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This is just a crowd pleaser. It's a great performance by everybody. Like, it's just... Hooray for him, man. That's awesome.
Okay. Now, tell me, what's Anyone But You?
Anyone But You, yeah. It's the movie we're going to review today.
Is that in the movies?
It's actually in the movies right now.
Yeah?
It premiered, I think, last Thursday.
I've not heard of it.
It's a rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
It got a lot of marketing because of the leads are really, really up-and-comers. They were in popular TV shows and movies, and people were excited to watch them. And apparently no, they really have great chemistry in the film. And as I've mentioned in this show many times, the main thing you got to do in a good rom-com, those leads need to have great chemistry, and they do. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Especially if there's nudity, which I've already noticed on the list.
There is plenty of nudity in the movie.
There is.
Mm-hmm. There is, yes. So it's an R-rated rom-com. It's not PG-13.
Okay.
It's not for the kiddies.
No. Nope. All right.
There's a lot of F-bombs and
oh dear.
And nudity and private parts.
Mm-hmm.
Private parts. You know? It's faux pas, Jerry. Faux pas. What would the Christians say?
Where are the lions?
Oh, God. Anyway for you. Directed by Will Gluck. Will Gluck came about for making good rom-coms. His biggest movie was Easy A. I don't know if you remember this. It was loosely based on The Scarlet Letter.
Okay.
This movie, by the way, is loosely based on Much Ado About Nothing, the Shakespearean short play.
Oh, I don't think there were private parts in Shakespeare's play.
Well, actually, yes, there were, probably.
There were?
I'm assuming yes.
No.
How would I dare?
Sure.
Anyways, Glenn Powell, starring Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney.
Again, that's a good name, I like that.
Sydney Sweeney?
Yeah, it's the Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful actress.
Also, it's the shortest, it's the shortest Sweeney Todd, the Flying Squad, which was the Metropolitan Police. They had a thing called the Flying Squad, the quick reaction thing with their cars and bells in those days. They didn't have whoo, 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 ding, 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 ding.
Man, are you like a British historian?
No, I'm doing the sound effects.
Got you nailed it, by the way.
Oscar.
Yeah, probably. Give us the plot, Jerry, give us the plot.
Okay, after an amazing first date, I guess they all took their clothes off.
There you go. Yeah.
After an amazing first date, B and Ben.
Yeah, well,
they call them B and Ben.
Much Ado About Nothing is Beatrice and Benedict.
Okay.
The Shakespearean play, those are the names.
We had a kiddies program called Bill and Ben, which is really good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There you go.
So that gave me a chuckle. Fiery attraction turns ice cold until they find themselves unexpectedly reunited at a destination wedding in Australia. So they do what any two mature adults would do. Oh, dear.
I don't know. Give us a.
They pretend to be a couple.
There you go.
There we are.
Typical rom-com little plot.
Mm-hmm. I noticed a shortage of positives.
Yes, I did not enjoy this movie. Let's go. First of all, positives. Great chemistry between Powell and Sweeney. As I mentioned, they really do. It shows. It showed in the media while they were promoting this movie, and I saw the movie, and they do. They do have great chemistry. It works. Great start.
So perhaps that's the reason they took their clothes off.
Maybe. I asked them, and they were like, no, it's part of the script.
Okay. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Some good romantic beats. Again, these two make the movie. They have good chemistry, so the romantic beats do work, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
A fun character trait for Ben, played by Powell, which has a Serenity song to be able to fly. Which is fun. That was a very big part of the movie, that he is a nervous flyer, so he has a Serenity song, which is unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield, I think her name is.
Oh, yeah?
I think you know the song. If you hear the song, you'll know it. It's one of those earworm songs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the last thing is the fun credits. The credits are pretty fun.
You mean the bits at the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So is it worth sitting through? How long's the movie?
It's an hour and 40. It's fine.
Okay. Is it worth sitting there that long to watch the credits?
You would stay throughout the credits because there's a whole song and dance thing. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Okay. Negatives. You go right into it. Gags are unfunny. This movie is not funny. I'm sorry. Glenn Powell is a very funny actor. I've seen him in a bunch of things, and he has great comic timing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This movie is unfunny. The gags are dumb. Everything is just like, cringe-worthy, stupid. It's like trying too hard to be funny. I did not laugh out loud, I think, once. Gata is horrible at acting. There is this best friend character played by, I'm assuming, new actor. I've never seen him before. His name is Gata, G-A-T-A.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, yeah?
Like, his performance is
This is negatives, isn't it?
I'm assuming, yes. I'm assuming he is friends with the director. He's like his good buddy. Because it makes no sense to me why this man... Or he has a bunch of followers on Instagram. And they wanted the social media crowd. I have no idea what the reason is. But wow, what a terrible acting did he do. Does not seem Sydney Sweeney is great at slapstick comedy. Sydney Sweeney, again, great actress. She is part of the Euphoria cast. She is in White Lotus. She, again, did a movie called Reality that is a great drama. She has the chops, but comedy might not be her thing.
Okay.
All side characters are caricatures. Again, I don't know what went wrong with this movie at what point, because there's some good actors in there. And they seem like just over the top. Everything's super over the top. Cursing and nudity for gratuitous reasons. There's no reason why this movie's rated R. There's really no point of making rated R. There's no need for showing a woman topless on a beach just for what... Like, there's no plot device of showing her naked on a beach.
You know there are topless beaches.
I understand that. Uh-huh. Was that the point, to show that they're in Australia, well, so there's topless people on the beach?
Well,
is that
in
the
Australia,
point?
There's nobody there to see you.
Why?
It's a big country. It's a big continent. There's not many people
there. By the way, Australia is not a continent. Let me start there.
Is it?
No. Australia's a country, son. You're missing New Zealand. It's part of the continent.
It's a very big one.
The continent is Oceania.
Is it really?
Yes. Come on. Anyways.
I didn't go to school.
You're about to tell me America is just the United States.
No, America is Panama as well.
There you go. Thank you. And that's why the Americans call it America.
That's why we call it the United States. It's not America. It doesn't say America.
Tell that to the people from the United States of America. Anyways, we're getting into some complicated territory. But yeah, the F-bombs they throw in the movie don't really... There's no... Again, it's just like, why are you just saying the F-word over and over again after every sentence?
You know me. I mean, I agree with that 100%. It's not necessary. I mean, they always say that if you use the F word, it's basically because you haven't got a very good vocabulary.
But I have to say, there are a couple of moments in movies where the F-bomb is needed.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yes, yeah. But in this movie, you could have made this movie PG-13 and it would have changed anything of the plot. Nothing. Take away the nudity, take away the F-bomb, and you can make this movie exactly the same. And, by the way, marketing-wise, you can get younger people to go watch it and make more money. Like, it made no sense to make this an R-rated film.
Well, you see, the thing is, they probably thought that it was such a bad movie that perhaps a little bit of nudity would help.
Hey, then you good go, call, see, maybe.
Yeah, I've tried on radio, but it doesn't seem to work.
You are topless all the time here. It's just super awkward for everybody coming in. The movie many times makes it a point to mention... than they are in Australia. But the country never really feels like a relevant character. They mention over and over again they're in Australia, and yes, there is a bit in the opera house and whatever, but it never... Again, you could have done this movie anywhere in the world, and it would have been the same movie. It just... And I read a review, because I was so shocked that I disliked the movie so much. I was like, this movie was very popular, I think. And I went into other reviewers, after I sent the review for you guys, because I didn't want to be swayed either way. And one of the New York Times guy said, like, I have a soft spot for Australia because I live there. But they do show Australia, but I never really felt connected to it. I never never really enjoyed anything on this. It was just, I don't know. Probably very expensive credits. I mentioned the fun credits. They do the whole song, the Serenity song I mentioned. Mm-hmm. They do the whole song throughout different scenes in the movie, the actors mouthing the words or singing it. That is time-consuming, what they did. That is time of the actors. That is time of the crew members. Those were million-dollar credits. I'm not kidding. Those credits were expensive and completely unnecessary.
They could have, you know, when we used to go to the movies in the UK, when I was a kid or whatever, you said... You didn't leave before the end of the credits, because at the end of the credits, they played God Save the Queen.
There you go.
Played the national anthem, and you had to stay for that.
By the way, in film school, if you leave before the credits, you might fail class. Like, they make a point, like, you got to stay to watch the people.
Well, then, I mean, I don't really want them to, but they show the credits so fast that you can't read them anyway. And come on, I mean, credits are credits, but do you really have to put the guy on the credits of a movie who goes and gets a cup of tea for everybody?
Hey, man, I got to tell you, I'm in the production of a movie right now. I want I want my name there.
Oh, getting the cup of tea.
I've seen how hard that guy works. Yeah, he deserves to be mentioned that he worked really hard at his job.
Does he bring rum as well?
No rum, but he's really, really, really focused on
tea.
Making sure everybody is fed, everybody is hydrated. Like it's
that's good. That's good. Man, that's good. Don't be knocking. Congratulations. I'm glad you got a part.
Don't be knocking. Hey, man. Everybody deserves.
I mean, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Okay, because I mean, I've never been, but I did share my offices in Brook Street in Mayfair in London with a film, not the crew, but all the people behind the movie.
Yeah.
And I've never seen such a waste of goddamn money in my life. Really. Mahmoud Sipra bought a movie. I'm trying to remember who it was. I can't remember his name. Christopher Lee was one of them that was in it. But he bought this movie, and they had the production team, I guess is what you call them, came down. And I mean, it, you know, if the baby was over 18 years of age, it would be doing something. Or 18 months, rather, and not 18 years. But you know, no, it was just waste of money. I mean, there's so much money was just thrown away.
I don't know, man. It's a difficult thing. Because you gotta keep in mind a couple things. One, the more people you have, the more you can delegate and stuff, and the faster you might go. Because if you have one person doing a bunch of jobs, they're gonna be slower at it. There's no other way of doing that. And the slower you are, the longer it takes to produce the movie or to film the movie, and that will end up costing you more money than the salary of the guy that, as you mentioned, gets the tea.
Well, when you got how many millions you can spend on a movie?
There was over $300 million movies, I guess. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
I agree. I'm trying to lower our budget to $250.
So it's $250 million.
No,
$250.
No, $250 million. Our budget was at $300 million.
Are you serious? Are you joking?
Of course I'm joking. Do you think we could get funding for $250 million? No.
Well, if Arturo's behind it, why not?
Hey, man. Who knows? I hope Arturo's listening and I'm fired after.
We're gonna take a piece of music. Then we're gonna come back with your roundup.
We got some more negatives. But yeah,
let's finish the negative.
You want to finish the negative?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't realize it was 8 pages long.
I was not impressed with this movie. The writer and director try hard to break rom-com tropes, but fails miserably at making the film engaging, coherent, and funny.
Okay, can you just buy the rom, you know, the naughty bits on their own? Can you get a DVD?
Like a compilation? I'll let you know, man. I'll make you an edit.
All right. We're going to take that musical break. We'll be right back.
Feel that.
Well, there we go. That is Natasha Bedingfield, and the track that Andreas mentioned that was in the movie. It's called Unwritten. And I said to him, I said, there you go. I said it was called Unwritten. I said it was called Unwritten by... Well, it wasn't unwritten by her. It was sung by her. How do you know she didn't write it?
She wrote it. The song is just called Unwritten.
It was written.
Yes. Unwritten was written by her.
You put it in a sentence. Yes. Then it's unwritten by... Well, okay, so who wrote it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I tell you what, let's do your final comments because we've got something interesting to talk about.
Oh, here we go. Let's go. After a lot of promotion by both lead actors and a great comedy track record by its director, I went into the film with high expectations. Sadly, it was a bust. Rather than great chemistry which leads to a good romantic thread, the movie is unfunny and has the stink of trying too hard to be original. In the end, instead of getting a new classic must-see rom-com, we get another example of maybe rom-coms are not meant for the movie theaters.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
We're trying to find other than IPs to bring to the movie theaters and save the movie theater industry with original movies.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of venture that we just saw says, maybe this movie should have premiered on Netflix instead of wasting money and make people go to the movie theaters. I don't know.
Okay.
That's my take. I don't know. Okay. I didn't enjoy it. I'm so upset, Jerry. I was highly...
What if you watched it on TV?
I probably would have enjoyed it more, because my expectations were like, whatever, let's watch this.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Talking of TV.
Yeah.
Rowena and Phil. They're in Mexico right now.
Yeah, okay,
they
nice.
Used to come to Panama. Now they go to Mexico.
Interesting. Why?
Yeah. Probably better. And you can move around in Mexico.
There's less smell of garbage.
Yes, that's been good, isn't it? I noticed I could smell it again last night.
Right downstairs when I showed up and got out of the car.
No, I noticed. Smell. I still picked the smoke because it's still hazy out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a cock up. Can I say that?
I don't think you can, but I guess, whoops.
Okay. I think I can say that.
There you go. Say whatever you want.
Anyway, Rowena and Phil. Let's say good morning, Jerry, Yasmin, Neil, Ingrid.
No Andres there, no?
Oh, sorry, and welcome back, Andres.
There you go, I think I saw that.
We've been watching a lot of Netflix, more than we do back home, because there was a lot of rain here in Puerto Morelos. This is in Mexico, of course, in the past weekend. Now, give these movies a try. All were good.
Here we go. Operation Finale.
About the capture of Adolf Eichmann in 1960.
Okay, I gotta go. Yeah,
okay. We've got Lift, action film with Kevin Hart.
I did see it.
More dramatic role.
I did see it.
Did you see it? What do you think of it?
He should stick to comedy.
Okay.
no offense to Kevin Hart, but he really tries hard to not be funny in this movie, like to try to be the serious guy, and he's better when he's the comedy guy.
Okay. We've got Bank of Dave, a true story.
Oh, great movie. You're going to love that one.
Oh, yeah?
You're really going to enjoy that one, yeah. I recommend. Good call, Rowena.
Jules, not so sure, but Ben Kingsley and Jane Curtis are great. I must admit, Ben Kingsley is, I think, one of the best actors
around.
You are a
big Ben Kingsley guy, yeah.
Oh, I mean, did you ever see him play Gandhi?
He
was
of course I did.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah. I mean, he is such a good actor. We've got Land. Touching survivalist film. Cheers, Rowena and Phil.
I don't know that last one, Land. I haven't heard of that.
She said it's cooler here, but not as cold as Denver. Yeah,
you're there better you go. Off That's there. That's a good call.
And if you like, the heat of Panama and the constant smell of burning garbage instead of a barbecue, come back and see us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's great. It's great. Great come. Yeah.
So tell me.
Here we go.
Yes. What are you looking for in the pipeline?
There's interesting things happening. I know Dune Part 2 is coming close. It's about
I watched Dune Part 1.
You finally did.
I did.
Here we go. What'd you think?
I thought it was great.
Right?
Yeah.
Really good, man. I'm telling you, Denis Villeneuve, the director, is probably the most... Well, now he's mostly known.
Was that not in nomination for Oscars?
Dune, yeah. He was. The movie was, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
This new one.
He hasn't come out.
No, I mean the not the original, but
the part one was nominated. Yes, okay. Was nominated for best film. It's great. It's beautifully done.
It's
beautiful.
Very, very, very.
And that's the thing with Denis Villeneuve, the director. He makes beautiful films and great films. He made Sicario with Emily Blunt. Great film.
Mm-hmm.
He made Arrival, one of my favorite films ever with Amy Adams. He made Prisoners, which I think I recommended to you, and I don't know if you've ever seen it, the Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal film, Prisoners on Netflix.
Not yet.
Great
film.
I'll
look it up.
Great thriller. You're going to love that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Prisoners, yeah. He's a great director, man. People should check him out. Every movie he makes is just bomb. And Dune, he's making Dune Part 2. I don't know if you saw the trailer for Dune Part 2.
No, not yet.
Looks fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Coming soon. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to watching the Oscar movies. There's a lot of Oscar movies coming out, obviously. I've seen some of them, not all. I want to watch them all before the Oscars. The one I need to convince myself of watching is Maestro. That's on Netflix. The Bradley Cooper movie. Because you can tell it's going to be a good movie, but it's going to be a slow movie.
Yeah,
you got to get into it. You got to get into it.
Yeah, I was the same impression.
Yeah, so I got to get into that one. I want to watch Past Lives, which I've heard it's a beautiful movie. It's nominated for Best Act, for Best Film as well, and Best Director. There's a couple of foreign films there in Best Movie, which I'm interested in watching. I'm thinking right now there's Mean Girls the musical. I was a fan of the original Mean Girls, and it's the same crew that made it. It's the Broadway adaptation of the film. The lead is great, and it's the original actress that played the role on Broadway. So I'm excited to watch it. I'm a fan of Tina Fey. I think she's a great writer. I think she has I have her comic sensibilities. So I'm interested in watching that for sure. So let's see how the year progresses. There's not a lot of movies coming out, like big budgeted movies. By the way, this year, Marvel or the MCU, no movies coming out.
So there is an upside.
There's superhero movies, but not Marvel in particular, nor DC. Neither Superman nor Iron Man are coming out.
Would you not think now that perhaps people are getting a little bit tired?
100%.
You know,
I think there is a little bit of fatigue.
They've been going on for so many years now. It's sort of like, you know, the people that were all over them were grown up, and the new generation's perhaps not so into it.
That might be the case, my friend. There is obviously a fatigue. There's obviously an issue with quality that has been going on. I know you are a fan of Guardians of the Galaxy. And to be honest, the third one that came out last year was great.
I haven't seen it.
Fantastic.
I think it's
on Disney Plus if you still have that. I don't know.
I'll
have
a look and see if it's on Prime.
You might have to rent it on Prime.
Yeah, no, I don't mind do that.
But it's great. It's well done. It's emotional. It's a great ending to the saga, you might say, because it's the third film. And it's the third film of that director. He's not making it anymore. So, again, I think it's a quality issue. I think the main issue right now is quality. If you make quality films, regardless of the cape, people are going to show up. If you make just the movie because of the name of the IP, you're not going to... Barbie's the same example. You could have made 100 bad Barbie movies. Simple. But Greta Gerwig had a vision for it, had an angle for it, had a story for it, and the movie had great marketing, yes, but the reason that people came back to it and went back to it over and over again and rewatched it many times, and the movie made $1 billion, is because the movie was good, was well made, was great. I find funny that people still debate, like, what kind of movie should be made for the movie theaters. There's only one answer to that. Make good movies. If the movie's good, It's gonna get a crowd. It might not get to the $1 billion nowadays in the movie theaters, but it might get enough crowd that it's going to make money. It's gonna be a profit, and it's gonna have a better life cycle when it shows up in streaming and VOD and video on demand and stuff like that. So, forget the IP, forget the capes, forget the cartoons, forget whatever. Just make good movies, good stories, and your movie will be well received and will make money.
Just something interesting, because we had our friends from LG in yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, like, we all watch these movies. I'm watching Blindspot at the moment. I'm going into series 3. They got 20 episodes.
Blindspot, is that the TV show with a woman tattoos?
Yeah. And I'm sort of in it's starting to get a little bit silly
it
about
is.
The way that, you know, that, yeah. Now they've found something else that... Her brother in Gentle Sign did something with the tattoos, and now they got this metal thing that makes them light up. And I'm thinking, come on, the first couple of series were really good. And the storyline, I'm sticking with it for a little while, but whether I'll get to the next series, I don't know. But what I'm getting at here is, you see, in all these movies, don't you? They have these screens which you can see through.
Yeah.
And they're showing pictures on it. You can see the background and everything else. They move things around on it.
Yeah.
That's the big thing at CES this year. See-through TVs.
Nah, I don't know. That's not going to be a thing.
No, it's interesting. No, seriously, because, of, you know, I've found out they're OLED. But what they've done is that the blood becomes transparent. But the beauty of it is, look, you can turn it on, and then it's a full OLED normal TV. Yeah. But what I love about it is it can become something completely different. I've seen two versions. One is it becomes an aquarium.
Interesting.
Because you can see through it, but it's, yeah. You can see all the... And the other one is a fire.
Yeah.
And I thought it's brilliant. I mean, they're going to be expensive. We're going to have to wait a few years before all of that. But I quite like the idea.
Do you think it's going to be like a fat, like the curved TVs or the 3D TVs?
Know. No, I don't think so, because you can change it. It doesn't have to be see-through.
Okay.
You know, you can put it on full. You can adjust the amount of opacity, if you like. But, no, I mean, I like that idea, but having it there and it'll look like an aquarium, or you can have it. Because I do at Christmas when I do on my TV? I play a YouTube 10-hour movie of a fire.
There you go. I do find funny, though. I find funny that tech companies now, their main goal right now is, like, let me figure out how to add something completely useless to this contraption. For example, phones. Samsung's like, we can't keep making the phone bigger, and we can't really do anything else with the design. Let's make it a flip phone and try to fucking spin that as...
Flip phones are great. That's a new technology. So is foldable.
Flip phones. What is the point of a flip phone? How is that a great thing?
Because it's neat. It's compact. You can put it in your pocket.
Come on.
And it's an ordinary phone.
It's as big as the one you have, dude.
No, it's not.
It flips to a bigger thing. It's a fad. It's going to pass.
Well, why are they selling so many?
Let me make this TV see-through. So we're I can have
go.
A fireplace.
I'm happy to say we
got to
go. I'm going to say we're happy because we got to go.
Yeah, I know.
Before you start going on again.
I'm going to go ranting on stupid stuff that people make.
Yes. Honestly, he's worse than I am. Well, not really. We're going to take a break. This is the News 8. Hold on.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio. Cool FM. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
The nightmares dance before
They can leave you bruised and battered. Then I realize that I'm by your side and I'm listening to you breathing. And in this room with the silver moon, you're something to believe in. There's a boy out there with a crazy stare and a gun to make a living in a sea of hate where you can't think straight, in a world that's unforgiving, and it's all gone bad in a world gone mad, and you're scared that you discover that the one you love and the one you trust is just like all the others. Then I realize that I'm by your side and I'm listening to you breathing. And in this room with the silver moon, something to believe in. We'll be right back.
Go two in a row, and what I can tell you about those two, firstly, Mike and the Mechanics and Something to Believe In, but their last track was the Eagles, and It's Your World Now, came out of the album Long Road Out of Eden, I think it was called, that was it. Yes, It's Your World Now, in other words, we're passing it on. I would think the pretty good chances that the people would say, we don't want it. If you're going to give it to us, if we're going to pass it on to us, you better do it in good condition. Anyway, let's say a very good morning to Yasmin. Morning, Yas.
Hello, good morning. Happy Wednesday.
And thank you. How was your day yesterday? Now tell us all about it.
Oh, yes. Yesterday we were at the inauguration of the City of Arts.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be the epicenter of art and culture.
Ah, okay.
And this is the imposing complex of buildings provides the perfect environment for the training activities of national artists,
mm-hmm.
a study center for those Panamanians who venture into music, dance, theater, and plastic arts.
So where exactly is that?
It's before Albrook Mall, if you are coming from Avenida Juan Pablo.
So is this the place where they had a dome? So a dome?
No.
No, it's different?
No. It's used to be the Toucan Museum.
Ah.
Before this one.
Okay.
I've never been there, so.
No. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but if you're coming from El Dorado to Albrook Mall,
mm-hmm.
you'll see it in front of the traffic light.
Yeah, is that where they got a gas station as well?
Uh-huh, yeah, next to the gas station.
Yeah, I know you. There used to be, I remember there used to be something there before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the Toucan Museum.
Yeah, I'm trying to think which one of the presidents was behind that, I think.
Uh-huh, and before that, it was another museum.
Okay, I know what you mean now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And nice?
Yeah, it was nice to see all the students there practicing, you know, all of
mm-hmm.
them
mm-hmm.
feels like relief because all of them, I mean, for the government, they have different areas for different activities and they were everything like everywhere around the city and now
mm-hmm.
everyone
mm-hmm.
is going to
be
there
place.
In the same mm-hmm. place, yeah. So, of course, everybody were excited about that.
Okay,
because mm-hmm.
it's a little bit like, because now they've opened, haven't they? The City of Health is open now.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Which is going to put a lot of things all in one place.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody's doing something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. So, oh, good. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
And what about today? What have you got lined up for today?
Today I'm going to meet... Did you know here in Panama we had a Scrabble institution.
Oh, Scrabble. I think I'm something about that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So today I'm going to meet them and see how they work and how is the group and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are you a Scrabble player?
I love Scrabble, but I don't have people to play with, so... hopefully, if I can join this team, I can.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's a good idea. You have somebody to play with.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, Ian will be back eventually. How's he doing, by the way?
He's fine.
You still got snow up there?
Oh, yes.
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. But he's enjoying it.
Yeah.
He might not want to come back, you know. good mm-hmm. for him.
Yeah.
How's his English? Have you you speak to him in English now?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. Not yet.
Okay.
The classes starts in February, so...
And so it's not even started, the classes?
No.
Why?
I don't know.
Was that originally the case?
No, at the beginning they said it would start in January, but I don't know why they changed the schedule.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not just us here then.
Mm-hmm.
And so what about you? What about today? What are you doing today?
Just going to meet the Scrabble people.
Just
going to
do that? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't forget to take your letters with you.
Oh, yes.
I think, you know, Scrabble is all that. People make up some incredible words. It's really annoying when you find out they're right. You know.
They actually sent me all the rules, and I was
really,
like,
yeah?
"Yes, because I didn't know you can make words just with two letters."
Hmm.
And they have a big, how can I say, a big list of those words with just two letters. And I was like, "Really? Is that a word?" So I have to learn that and memorize all of them.
Yeah. Just reply to that one. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. We better tell us all about it. Now, the thing is, if you play Scrabble, obviously it's in Spanish. Can you put English words in as well?
No, this one is just in Spanish.
Is it? Yeah. No, I just wondered. Okay. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just try and get them on the program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be
good.
That'd
be quite good fun, wouldn't
them.
It? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't need to talk to them. We can just make words up. Oh, wonderful. Anyway, I know we've got Amanda Chu is likely to be coming in.
Oh, yes.
And we've got somebody born on this day in the world of music.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
He was born in 1941, American singer and songwriter.
Uh-huh.
He has had 10 number one singles on the U.S. chart, including Crackling Rose, Song Song Blue, and You Don't Bring Me Flowers, and has sold more than 130 million records worldwide.
Ah,
mm-hmm.
That's quite something, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Did you know Neil Diamond also wrote I'm a Believer?
Uh-huh.
The song for the Monkees.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to play Crackling Rosie.
Don't you know I'll have me a time with a poor man's lady, hitching on a twilight train. Ain't nothing here that I care to take along. Maybe a song to sing when I want. Don't need to say please to no man for a happy child. You got the way to make me happy. You and me, we go in style. Crackling Rose, you're a store-bought woman, but you make me sing like a guitar humming. So hang on to me, girl, our song keeps running on. Play it now, play it now, play it now. Last for an hour, that's alright, 'cause we got all night to set the world right. Find us a dream that don't ask no questions, yeah. Oh, I love my rosy child. You got the way to make me happy. You and me, we go in style. Crackling Rose, your store-bought woman, but you make me sing like a guitar humming. So hang on to me, girl, our song keeps running on. Play it now, play it now, play it now, my baby. Crackling Rose, and make me a smile. Girl, if it lasts for an hour, well, that's all right, 'cause we got all night. Set the world right. Find us a dream that don't ask no questions. Ba 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 ba
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
For the benefit of Mr. Kite, there will be a show tonight on trampoline. The Hendersons will all be there. Later, Pablo Frank is there. What a scene. Over men and horses, hoops and garters, lastly through a hogshead of real fire. In this way, Mr. K will challenge the world. The celebrated Mr. K performs his feat on Saturday at Bishop's Gate. The Hendersons will dance and sing as Mr. Kite flies through the ring. Don't be late. Let us K and H assure the public their production will be second to none. And of course, Henry the Horse dances the waltz. Demonstrate 10 somersets he'll undertake on solid ground. Ding ding, some days in preparation, a splendid time is guaranteed for all. And tonight, Mr. Kite is topping the bill.
And there we go, bring us in the Beatles, of course, off of the album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and for the benefit of Mr. Kite. And that's sort of, well, quite apt, because we're going to be talking about kites with our guest this morning, Amanda Chu from Apple Cheaper. Good morning to you.
Hi, Jerry. Hi, everybody.
I tell you what, let me just move that. There we go. Lovely to see you again.
Lovely to be here again. We see you
this time of the year, don't we? You come in and it's kite flying time.
Yes, it is. So we're going to be having our 24th Festival de Cometas y Panderos this Sunday, January 28th.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope that you guys are coming and join us to have a really, really, really good time with us.
That sounds great. Yeah. And tell us a little bit about Aprochipa.
Well, Aprochipa, it's a non-profit organization. We have been here in Panama for over 56 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our main event. So we gather funds just to keep doing all the cultural, professional development, social welfare activities.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a family event, the Festival de Cometas y Panderos. And the main objective is just to bring back the culture, the Chinese culture, through the tradition of flying kites.
Right.
So, you know that kites, it's basically part of the Panamanian family night during the summertime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what sort of things are you going to have? Because I know, will you be sort of helping people make kites while they're there? Or?
Well, yes, we do have workshops prior to the festival. But during the festival, what we're going to be having, it's mainly the competitions.
We're having the
competitions, so we can and see the different skills of the participants. We're going to be having different categories, for kids, for youth, for adults, and also the professional category.
Uh-huh,
so, yeah, so the professional category is a pretty interesting one because you're going to be experiencing really big and kite and different kites. So we invite you to go there and just to experience those different types of kite flying in the sky. We're also going to be having an entertainment. We're going to be having different shows. We're going to be having a storytelling, a lot of food.
Okay, it's
going to be a big festival, just like the one that we always do every summer.
Oh, that's wonderful. And too, because you said You're calling it this year the Kite and Tambourine Festival. Where does the tambourines come in?
Well, the tambourine, yes, we're going to be having the shows begin at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be wrapping up the show at 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot tell you the exact time where we're going to be right. having the, that specific show. But yes, we're going to be having
That's
between
cool.
12 to 6.
Mm-hmm. And now, can people buy kites if somebody wants to come along and they don't have a kite?
Yes, sure, yeah. sure. We're going to be selling kites over there. We're also going to be having our friend of Kupu Kupu.
Mm-hmm.
They are our partners because their kites are different from the commercial ones that
oh,
we
okay.
sell.
Okay, yeah.
But they
yeah.
also have these different and artisanal kites. So if anybody wants to buy a different kite,
mm-hmm.
they can also buy it from their Kupu Kupu friend that they're going to be there.
That's
so they
cool.
have in the shape of a butterfly, of a dragon, of an
okay.
eagle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. And then we also have the commercial kite that you can buy with us.
Uh-huh.
So you don't need to bring your kite. If you forget it at home, don't worry, we have you covered.
Yeah, yeah. You can buy a dragon. Because I tell you what, you gave one for me now, the sort of, like a sort of invitation. And it's like a sort of 3D the way it's made. It's when they're sort of cut out. I think it's lovely. But there's a big dragon kite on there, isn't there?
Yes, because yeah. this year the Chinese culture, Chinese, the new Chinese year is going to be celebrating the dragon.
Ah, okay.
So it's the mm-hmm. wooden dragon. So that's
okay.
why our pet
mm-hmm.
is the Shenlong, the wood dragon.
Okay.
So it said that he's going to bring a lot of prosperity
mm-hmm.
and good luck, no?
Okay.
And a lot of happiness for the people. So that's why Shenlong
mm-hmm.
is our pet for this year.
Wonderful. So, yes, we've got to go and get a dragon. We need a dragon, definitely. That's wonderful. And so let's just sort of run through. See, this starts it's on Sunday, which is a great day. 10 o'clock in the morning till 6 in the evening. This is at the Boulevard at the Panama Pacifico. So, and plenty of parking over there, right?
Yes, there's going to be plenty of parking. You do not need to worry about it. A lot of security as well. A
mm-hmm.
lot of food. A lot of drink. You're going to have water, regular soda and everything. So you do not be worried about the heat.
Yeah, oh, wonderful. Lovely. And we're going to take another piece of music. And then we'll be back with Amanda. We'll keep reminding you about that because it's a great event. And I found another. This is one I remember from a long, long time ago. It's by Simon Dupree and The Big Sound. And it's called Kites.
Silk and silver moon in your window.
Yeah, a bit of wind there. Need that. Simon Dupree and the Big Sound. And it's just simply called Kites. Bit of a story behind that one. It was written by Hal Hackerty and Lee Pockris. First recorded by the Rooftop Singers. And that was their last single in 1967. But the song then became a hit, Simon Dupree and the Big Sound, a group of the Shulman Brothers, who went on to form the progressive rock band called Gentle Giant. Their first release, not very successful, and they looked to their manager, John King, for inspiration. He suggested Kites, which had been obtained from Robin's Music, and it was not their preferred style, but King insisted and did all right for them. So it was recorded at Abbey Studios using unconventional instruments. We heard them on it in a wind machine, yeah, that's what we heard, could hear, and included a spoken interlude in Chinese, composed of Sweet Nothings and performed by the actress Jackie Chan, a friend of the band. There we go. By the way, the spoken words are in Mandarin, a language which she didn't usually speak. One translation is, I love you, I love you, my love is very strong, it flies high like a kite before the wind, please do not let go of the string. Got a chuckle in you. That was in Chinese, so of course we all knew that. Didn't we, Amanda? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, of course we did. Just say yes. And I was looking through the things here, and one of the things I wanted to ask you, because it is pet friendly, in actual fact, you've got a dog competition.
Yes, we have a... Well, it's not a dog competition. It's mainly the Agility Dog Show.
Oh, dog show, yeah.
Yes, so we're going to have our friend from Agility Panama.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be able to see different kind of dogs doing their show. So it's mm-hmm. pretty cute and it's pretty nice.
Yeah. And I know a lot of these events, they have the people that you can adopt a pet from. Will they be there?
Yes. So you can adopt over there. You can pet also the animal that we're going to be having over there.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a pet-friendly day.
Oh, lovely.
Yes, so you can go with your own pet mm-hmm. or maybe you can adopt a pet over there.
Yeah, I was just saying to Yasmin, take Lala the parrot, put on a piece of string. That would be the best cut we... Hey, Yas, we could win a prize with that. You know, a parrot on a string for a kite. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Ooh, la, la. It will be a pretty original kite.
Yes, there we go, yes. And also, with the dogs there, there's going to be fun watching the dogs chase the kite, don't you? The other thing, of course, we've got to hope it's going to be windy.
Yes.
Well, I think the way things are going, it should be windy. I don't think we're going to have any rain. I think that's left us now. And it's just... I'd say what does, I didn't realize sort of kites were so strict, because I'm looking at some of the rules here, like the themes of the craft themes of the kites, commercial, the professional theme. But there's a lot of, it's not just, you know, put a kite together and fly it. There are rules that govern the sport, right?
Yes, that's correct. So, for example, in our competition, the only category that you can have an assistant is for the professional one, because
okay.
those are
you
the...
need to help to launch the kite.
Yes, yeah. Because those are the biggest kite.
Mm.
You
know? Mm.
For the other ones, the artisanals and the commercial ones, you are expected to do it only by yourself, because those are smaller kites.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So what
yeah.
we're going to be grading is the level of your skills.
Mm-hmm.
When you're launching the kite, when you are maintaining it on the sky, how it flies, if you can control it,
mm-hmm.
and then when you are pulling it down. You know? So, yes, one of the rules is that the system, what needs to be the size of from end to end of the kite,
mm-hmm.
and, yeah, mainly how long does it take for you to launch it,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
that's going to define your skills.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no wind...
Well, we're following the forecast, and and the forecast says that we are going to have wind.
Oh,
so
good.
That's going to be
good.
Windy.
Otherwise, you have to put wheels on it.
Well, yes, until today, Mother Nature is on our side on the forecast. So
good, excellent. All right. And if not, take a fan with it. What's it? Because, I mean, I know, because when I was a kid, you know, you had the almost sort of like a triangle, you know, the sort of...
The diamond.
The diamond set, the diamond-shaped one, and a little tail with burn in it. And, I mean, you mentioned, launching a kite. That's not that easy, especially you've got to do it on your own. I mean, you have to pull it to get it to sort of get itself up off the ground. Then you've got to keep sort of pulling and tugging it to get it to go higher.
It's not
that easy, I tell you.
Oh, yeah, and then the festival, you're not only going to see the diamond-shaped kite, the usual ones that you see, because we have had in the past, like, tiger shapes.
There's a box shape as well.
Box shape. We also had, there was one year, I don't recall which year was, the kite was in a shape of a man riding a bike.
Really?
Yes. That's actually, it was made by one of our friends from Azuero, in Elías de León. So he developed that kite, and also another friend was from Azuero, Walter Diaz. He developed one that it was a 3D, because it was like in a circular shape, and it was in the shape of a lion, of a tiger. It was the year of the tiger, and it also had like the tail and everything. It was pretty cool, different.
Amazing,
no? So you will see a different shape.
Sure.
Yes. Last year, actually, the winner was a girl. She's named Eileen Owen, and it was a triangle, a 3D triangle. It was a flat shape. And it was a huge one, and it had like different colors, and obviously it had a lot of holes because it needed to keep in the sky. Mm-hmm. So it was very different. I haven't seen a kite like that before.
Innovation is what it's called.
Innovation, creativity, everything is combined just to have.
Nobody's tried putting an electric motor on the.
No. That's not allowed.
That comes on the automated series, you know. And tell me, are you a kite flyer?
Well, when I was a kid, I used to go to the park, and I used to go to the causeway and the administration building to fly kites with my parents. So I don't do it anymore, but since I have a kid now, my daughter is going to be turning 3 years in 1 month. Not in 1 month, like in 2 weeks.
Wonderful.
So that's one of our goals for my husband and myself.
To teach her that. How cool is that?
That's great.
So you get to play with the kite. I remember when I was a little kid, my father bought a train set for me.
Uh-huh.
And my mother told me that he and his friends were playing with it all night the night before.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and even when I got it on Christmas Day, I would get it pushed out of the way so my father could play with it. So your hubby will be in there with the helping in that. That's wonderful. Yes. Lovely. Oh, great. And you were telling me he listens to the program.
Excuse me?
You were telling me earlier your husband listens to the program.
How early is going to be the program?
No, your husband.
He listens to the program, yes. Actually, see, he sends you, he told me to say hi to you.
Uh-huh.
He really likes the program. He really likes the smooth jazz and the smooth music.
Right. Great taste.
I'll tell him that. Yeah, Jimmy, if you're listening, Jerry said that you have a great taste.
Yes. And he's got a lovely wife as well, so yeah, you have a great taste. And it's lovely to hear you've got a little girl now. Is it a little girl? Little girl, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah,
she's
lovely.
She's going to be turning 3 in 2 weeks.
Lovely.
September 15th.
Oh, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And tell us quickly again, Aprochipa, what do they do? You mentioned this is the main event, but what is the purpose of Aprochipa?
Well, our purpose is in 3 different pillars.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is in culture, so obviously just to connect the Chinese culture with the Panamanian culture.
Right.
Because obviously we are an association of Chinese and Panamanian professionals.
Mm-hmm.
On the professional development, since we are professionals, well, just to focus on the education, not only for the members of the association, but also for the community. How we can push on education on different topics, just like leadership, entrepreneurship, and so. And on the social welfare, well, we do help the people that is more in need in the country. No?
Mm-hmm.
So just to give back to the community.
Wonderful. Well, congratulations on that. And on kite flying. Just remind everybody, Sunday, put it in your diary, all right? 10 a.m. in the morning till 6 in the evening. And this is at the Boulevard on Panama Pacifico. And as I say, that is this Sunday, great day to have it as well, because we've got no excuse, have we? There we go. Go along and enjoy kite flying and all the other goodies as well. And I was looking at a video on the website. You can go to the website, by the way. Let me give you the address for that. Go to Aprochipa, that's aprochipa.org, and then just look for Festival de Cometas 2024, and you'll find all the information. Great program lined up. So, Amanda, thank you so very much, as always.
Thank you so much, Jerry.
And the boys and girls at Aprochipa for all the work they do all year. And we'll remind everybody out for the rest of the week to go along on Sunday. And time-wise, well, we just got a few seconds to go before the end of the show. And when we have a little bit of time like that, what do we like to do? We like to do this.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene. Give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance and out.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show.
There we go. Yes, have a good laugh. Don't take life too seriously. Believe that, you believe anything. Right, it is time on The Breakfast Show for us to say our goodbyes. Special thanks this morning. Our special guest with us, Amanda Chu from Aprochipa. Don't forget, we'll be reminding you about that kite flying day on Sunday as we get towards the end of the week. So big thanks to Amanda. And also a big thanks to Andreas. Nice to have him back. It's been a few weeks. And for our movie review, we'll have information on that on the website. Big thanks to Yasmin, my producer here in the Breakfast Show studio, our co-producer Neil, who's over here at the moment. And a big thanks, of course, not forgetting Ingrid for our everyday story of country folk. She's up there right now in the Estados Unidos looking after Mum. So hope all is well for you up there, Ingrid. Let's say a big thank you to the boys and girls of Grupo Grado who keep us up and running, and especially to Isaac. Thank you, Isaac. And to you, our listeners, our advertisers and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us here on this morning's Breakfast Show. We'll be back with you same time tomorrow, 7 in the morning. Please remember, whatever it is you're doing between now and then, what do we want you to do? We want you to look after yourselves, because tomorrow, 7, I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. Alright, from me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-ta!
You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Kiros, co-producer Neil Danby.